Hello. Just had to
Howdy,
click on
Kristen,
something.
Thomas. I just, howdy, Thomas. Howdy, Kristen.
Howdy.
How's your caffeination this morning?
Haven't tried it out yet, but I learned lessons from yesterday and I increased the number of scoops. So I have
Hopefully
my
better.
hopes. I'm giving it another minute or two before I hit that plunger.
Okay. Are you a French press type of person?
I am. I do it often. I had a smaller, like, kind of like one cup, or 1 cup of coffee. My daughter dropped it on the floor, so I've shifted to a larger one that I'm unfamiliar with. So I'm dialing it in.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I have a larger one, and I have determined that I like to have a, I do a blend of, I do heaping tablespoons to fill it. I do 3 heaping tablespoons of regular and then 1 heaping tablespoon of decaf because that lets me drink more coffee without
Yeah.
getting jittery. But I get like the flavor of the caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. I found a little container of grounds that said decaf on the top the other day, but I didn't believe it. I was like, there's no way we actually have decaf coffee in here. And so I risked it, but who knows?
Yeah.
Might have been all placebo effect for me all day.
Was surprised while I was doing research on coffee that dark roast coffee doesn't have more caffeine than light roast coffee.
Light roast has more, actually.
Yeah.
And I will
This.
say, I am a huge fan of like this. I know it's not 100% Hawaiian or anything, but I have this like Hawaiian blend. And I think it works really well in a French press.
These
Yeah, I
guys are
think.
really good. I like their coffee. Unfortunately, like the only way I can get it is mail order. It's Death Wish Coffee. They do a lot of really dark roasts, but they're not bitter. And they also do some really cool flavored ones. I got their blueberry, and they'll do a holiday one. And they have a nice flavor to them without like being like in your face, like it's blueberry. It's coffee with a hint of blueberry or something of that nature, but yeah.
And I'm guessing, Jeremy, that you grind your own beans then.
I do. Yeah, I got a little grinder over here.
Works much better for French press too, because you have to have kind of a coarser grind, otherwise you get too much sludge.
Yeah, it makes those last few sips pretty interesting.
You're more chewing it than drinking
Yeah. But desperate times.
Yep.
Isn't it the case with like Turkish coffee that you simply don't drink the dregs at the end? I mean, just leave the little bit at the end.
I think so. I thought Turkish coffee, they left the. Yeah, I was gonna say, don't they make it with the grounds in the coffee? Like the
Either
sack
that,
coffee?
I've heard it described as Swedish coffee, but I don't know if that's just an Americanism. But have y'all ever seen this where they will put an egg in the coffee and with a shell and everything, and then make, yeah, all right. So this is a thing. And I've heard it makes really good coffee, but they'll boil a pot of water and just put the grounds in there. But then they crack an egg with a shell and everything and like kind of drop that in there too. And apparently it binds up the coffee. And after a little while, it all kind of like settles to the bottom. And then you just like pour off the coffee from the top of that. And I haven't tried it. I've seen people do it. It looks effective, so shockingly. I'll give it a shot and I'll let you know.
So I can confirm that it's called kok kaffe in Sweden when it is when you are boiling with the coffee ground. But I've never heard about the egg thing. It sounds
Okay.
to me like a TikTok addition.
Yeah. Where did I saw I didn't see this on social media. Well, okay. I think it might have been YouTube. I guess that's social media. All right, I give up on that.
Yeah.
All right.
But you buy some special coffee for doing this cook coffee. But it's something you do when you are, out hiking. And you are doing it a little bit more simple way, and you don't want to carry a lot of
Right.
things around then. And
Isn't the
everything
coffee
tastes
also,
good when it's you have been out walking for 10 hours then.
Isn't the coffee ground more like a really, really fine powder? Oh, like almost like cornstarch or something?
Yeah, it's definitely finer, yeah, than normal espresso coffee or you know, these where you are using your, what's it, when you press your coffee down, then it's that's much more
Course. All right, let's dive right in. Welcome, folks, to our November 20th Product Council meeting. And I guess, did I get this right? Looks, am I on the right one? I guess so. Did we get this right? Is Jennifer our note taker today?
It is. Autumn is sick, so
Okay.
yeah. And let me post the that is the link to the agenda in chat.
Thank you. All right. So we'll just dive right into announcements. Because in the US, we have Thanksgiving holiday next Thursday, and I suppose a lot of people might be traveling or taking some sort of leave around that Thursday day, we're going to postpone both the planning and the PC meeting next week. So there will be no PC meetings next week. And it looks like our dashboard group will attend the PO meeting the following week in December. So that's exciting. Any other announcements that we failed to get down here? Okay. Let's move along to liaison updates. Todd, do you have anything from the TC?
Nothing special. The main thing was the I mean they're continuing the environment variables discussion. I think they're getting close to wrapping that up. I don't really think anything else is particularly pressing or of particular particular concern for the PC.
Environment variables, admittedly very important. Also, one of the most boring things you could be talking about.
Very important for operations and deployment and stuff, but very little intersection, very little direct intersection with this group.
I'm speaking from years of experience as a developer. It's a real snooze fest. All right, Alexis, anything from the CC?
No, they only meet every other week, and
Okay.
we were pretty, yeah.
All right, and not to make you do double duty, Jennifer, but would you mind going over some of the stuff that you've added for RMS?
Sure. So they are working on two CSPs. So Ramsen, there's going to be a number, it's CSP9 with a number of log improvements. And I think these are logs in the back end. It's not logs like, you know, that someone like the circ log or something like that. So I put one for reference. Then for Sunflower, they are working on CSP3. And there are four new tickets for National Library of Sweden in that round so that they can go live later on. Yay. And that's about it. So, Charlotte, did you want to say something?
I just want to say that those four tickets will support the new instance source UI. So that's for Stanford and National Library of Sweden and others who are using Bitframe and want to link into the instance record. So that's coming with Sunflower and is not, you know, Trillium is so delayed. So it's so far out. So I'd say that's the good news for other libraries than just NLS.
I this is off the topic of RMS, but I feel like I heard somewhere an announcement that MLS is on track to go live with Sunflower. Is that correct? I mean, not with Sunflower, with Eureka. I'm
That's
sorry.
true. In their production system, they have set up now the test environment as a Sunflower on critical service patch number one. So that's Eureka. So they will go live on a clean Eureka start and not have this to migrate from Okapi Folio on Okapi to Folio on Eureka.
Mark is asking what the target date is for that.
It's a spring 2026.
Okay, all right. That's sooner than I thought.
Yeah, so it has been Q1 2026, all. So it has been really intense work here doing data migration, doing viewfind, doing development, but we're still on track.
Awesome. Just awesome. All right. Thank you, Jennifer and Todd and Alexis. I decided to pull the action items up into this section that have been completed just so that we can kind of see what's been done. It looks like Todd did announce the decision on support periods from the PC's endorsement. Thank you, Todd. Alexis did add this to future topics list, but I have to confess, I don't recall what this was that was added to the future topics list.
Me neither, but I can look.
Okay. Sorry. It's also very similar to the next one. I wonder if it's a duplicate. So we'll add, say, consistency to future topics list. Did we get
Yeah,
two?
I think yeah, that's it. I think what I had, so this was me taking notes and recording things in two places. So I think that is a duplicate.
Okay. All right. Well, surprise, surprise. Alexis was taking notes and now she gets double credit for action items.
Better to put it down twice than not put it down at all.
I do agree. Also, looks like you did reach out to Kalila about presenting at the next PO meeting. How did that go?
It was good. We had originally were shooting for yesterday, but that meeting got canceled, and so she just put us on the next one, which is right after Thanksgiving. So, we'll be I mean, I invited, well, I actually, I'm not sure that I think I forwarded the invite for the third to everybody. I'm gonna double check everybody else on the working group. But I also shared all of our the stuff we've been doing with Caitlin. And hopefully, I'm not sure she's had a chance to get caught up on all of that yet, but I'm hoping by the time we go to that meeting, we'll have some additional thoughts from her on, just sort of feedback on the directions we took and if she wants to do anything a little bit differently. So, yeah, we'll regroup after Thanksgiving.
Awesome. On the thread about the support period, we all were supposed to cast our vote on Slack for that, and we got a sufficient number of votes for that to move forward. So thank you everybody for engaging with that. Yana, this actually I think is a week old. We already got a report back from this. And then I was supposed to let the TC know that we did pass their decision record. We did endorse it. And I did that. I let Jen and Alameda know. And again, I think, yeah, we got a duplicate here. Okay, so I'm getting double credit too. All right. Awesome. Okay, another last little piece of housekeeping before we move on to kind of the main events. I do have now, thanks to Peter, permissions to edit these shortcuts, and I'm happy to do so. Can we capture just real quick through some discussion what we feel like should be here on these shortcuts? The charge seems good. The decision log seems good. Off the top of my head, I'm just thinking we could swap out an old version of meeting notes for our current meeting notes link. Martin?
So I think the charge, for example, I mean the link to the charge I think is an old one.
Oh.
I have the feeling that this is the charge before the governance model was set into being. So I think on the main product council page, we have a link to the governance model and the charter there. Maybe we can use this link or we just leave it out.
Okay.
That's
Yeah,
one thing. And the other thing I wanted to say, I have on the right-hand side, I have these proposals that I would like maybe to see there as shortcuts. That is the decision log. I think the community priorities dashboard, it would be really great to have it as a in a on a, on a prominent place. And the meeting notes, I mean, you have the old version of meeting notes that is really, well, maybe not completely useless, but not for daily use. Yeah, and maybe also the page about the special interest groups so that you quickly can access all the special interest groups and the table. So these are the pages that I always have a hard time finding. So I would like them to have them as shortcuts there.
I sympathize with that. I also find myself clicking around quite a bit to find these things sometimes. So yeah, I think those all sound like great suggestions. The community priorities dashboard, the new meeting notes, and the working groups page. But all three of those do get referenced a whole lot, at least these days in our meetings. And then making sure that if we do link to a charge, it's the right one. Charlotte.
Maybe also the future topic document
Yeah.
that I was looking for today. So, but that's for not just for us, but for others if they want to come and have a presentation with us.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Jennifer, did you capture these suggestions in the notes? Because I will not remember them.
Yeah, I'm starting to. So, change and make sure it's the charge, working groups, topic calendar, and what else?
The community priorities dashboard and current meeting notes.
And I'm wondering with the current meeting notes. I mean, we would just have to make sure that that shortcut is updated, like every year. I mean, I don't think that's an issue, but
I was thinking, of just taking this link right here, meeting and agenda notes right here. And so the yeah, this the, and using this one on the side over here.
yeah, exactly. So we have on down in the content section on the left-hand side, we have the page with the product council meetings. That's where our meetings and the last meetings of the last few years are. But then there's also this old version that is, and yeah, if you just collapse the content. If you,
Oh, I collapsed it.
yeah, and then it's the sixth page, I think, is the product council meetings page. Yeah, you just went over. Oh yeah, one down.
I see.
Product council meetings. That's I saw. I always go like this as well. So I'm wondering where are the council meetings, and try to find
Okay.
them. These are our current meetings. So and just switching the old meeting notes shortcut with this page, I think would be sufficient. Because
Okay.
here you quickly find the current meetings.
Yeah, I think clicking here brings you to the same location, yeah, as this. Yeah, it is the same, it's the same link. Okay. Very cool. All right. Any other thoughts on that?
Oh, and Jeremy, so for the SIG groups, do you want to, was the link to like just the special interest groups, or was it deeper to like the current 2025 reports?
I think it is. Let me see if I can find it. This one right here is what I was thinking. Product Council subgroups.
Oh, okay. So, because I did hear interest in linking off, having a shortcut for the special interest groups.
Yeah, well, I put it in the agenda. It's in parentheses, so I wasn't sure about that. For me, it would be okay to not mention it, it in the shortcut section, especially if you have others that are more important than the shortcut section. I think it shouldn't get too long.
Okay.
I would be fine not having it there, so I can find, because I'm not using it, let's say, too much. I just wanted, maybe some folks want to have it there, but if no one needs it, then I'm fine.
I'll tell you what, I'll take a crack at this. I'll get some links on there and we'll look at it after Thanksgiving, and y'all can tell me I did it all wrong and have me redo it. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, folks. Let's dive in. So on our agenda today, we have two more working group charters to go over. One for the working group on community-directed development framework, and the other one is a charter for the RMS PC roles, relationships, and communication working group. So I don't mind diving into this one on community directed development. With Autumn out sick, do we want to postpone that, or is one of the other group members wanting to go over that charter?
Maybe we should postpone. I wasn't ready, and I see that the link isn't there either. So, yeah.
And we didn't. Yeah, we didn't meet this week.
True. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I as one of the group members, I can say that I did not prepare to talk through that charter. So,
yeah.
I get it. I'm going to grab this link and put it in the chat real quick. And all right, we can go over the charter as we have it now for the Community Directed Development PC Working Group. We have listed the following purposes and objectives for this group: to establish and refine the PC's role in the Community Directed Development Framework, establish and maintain communication between CDDF participants within the PC, CC, and TC, and we explicitly stated that we want to refine the DIP process, even though this is probably included in this first purpose and objective. But we wanted to be explicit about this just because there was a lot of explicit interest in us at the very least getting some version of the DIP process up and running. So we kind of broke that out on its own. I'm about to dive into scope, but just I'll pause there for a second. Any thoughts or questions so far about the purposes of this group? Does it seem consistent with what folks were thinking we were doing? Go for it, Todd.
Just a minor point, probably good to spell out the DIP acronym.
Yep. Now I'm forgetting what it stands for. Is it initiative proposal? That seems redundant.
So it's in the first bullet point in scope. So you can copy paste from sentence.
Nice. In fact, I could probably, is this how it's supposed to work? Okay, cool. All right, thank you, Todd. All right, in scope, we're looking at overseeing the implementation of the DIP, including the creation of a minimally viable DIP process. So yeah, this was definitely something that came up during the Tri-Council meeting, that the DIP in its current formulation within the CDDF document is very integrated with other aspects of the CDDF. And there was some desire to see the DIP kind of pulled out and presented in a way that could be operational without the rest of the CDDF. So that's what that means there. Shadowing a pilot of the minimally viable DIP process. So we do want to take it out for a dry run. Define the process of classifying the folio components into community and participating components, which was a role that the PC is intended to perform within the CDDF. Define the process by which the community resource points allocated to the PC are managed and spent. Explore other open source community development approaches for possible integration with the CDDF, specifically Koha. Gather community feedback as the CDDF is being implemented to ensure that the process is meeting the community's needs. And then out of scope, project management of any aspect of development performed within the CDDF. Evaluation of technical deliverables. This is delegated to the TC and development teams. And the allocation of funds towards a community development pool. This role is reserved for the CC. Any thoughts or questions about the scope, either in or out of scope? Okay. Here are our members, and we explicitly stated that that we might, you know, find the need at a later point to add non-PC members by invitation to the group. And of course, any PC members are welcome to participate at will. We kind of kicked off to our existing documentation for our decision-making process. We want to be meeting 1 hour a week on Wednesdays at 10 Eastern. And we have a target end date for this of June 24th, 2026. We are also very interested in trying to work with the CC and the TC to get, they have different efforts that are kind of in a similar vein with community directed development. And we would like to coordinate some sort of regular cadence for the various groups within the different councils to get together and make sure that we're coordinating our efforts across the councils. So we're looking into maybe sharing our time slot on Wednesdays with the other councils on the first Wednesday of the month, something like that. But that's something that we would like to put together. And then we, let's see, we're also intending to do a presentation outline the deliverables of the group. And we're proposing that for the 2026 WolfCon. Deliverables and milestones. We want to deliver a documented process for the minimally viable DIP. We're targeting February 26th for that. A recommendation to the CC of possible staffing configurations for a community development team to be delivered to the CC in March. A documented process for designating folio components as community or participating to be delivered by April 16th. I want to point out that our interest here is not to accomplish the actual delineation of modules into community or participating, but just to try to define the process by which the TC would engage in that classification effort. We want to flesh out the full DIP process. And a roadmap for it by May 7th. We want to be able to bring forward a phased rollout roadmap for the entire CDDF by June. And then we want to be able to present on these things at the next WolfCon. And just kind of this boilerplate stuff for resources and support. Any thoughts on these deliverables, the communication plan? Did we miss anything? Are we reaching too far? Alexis.
For the DIP pilot, how would that work as far as resourcing goes? Like, how do we need to make sure? I mean, is being able to do that dependent upon there being funding and, you know, developers or whatever? And how do we do that?
It's a great question. And it's definitely something that we're going to have to dig into. I do think that this idea of a minimally viable DIP, even though we haven't really nailed down what that would look like, is kind of predicated on the assumption that there is some formulation of the DIP process that doesn't rely on the community-directed development aspects of it, something that can track the work and kind of get it documented in that this way, but it doesn't necessarily have those components in there that pertain to resource allocation and funding and things like that. I guess that's the assumption I was basing this off of, is whatever minimal DIP we bring forward won't necessarily need community funding in order for the development to take place. I'm not sure if we can figure that out, but I think that's what we're going to try to do. That's a good question. Thank you. Todd.
Think one of the things that's rattling around in my head is, we've had processes in Folio that we've tried to initiate that have, for one reason or another, simply not been adopted. They've seemed like a good idea, but not been adopted. And so what I'm wondering is, what kind of, I don't know, outreach are you doing during the development of the process to help ensure that we're pulling together a process that will meet needs and be not so, that'll be agreeable to all the players?
That is a great question. I guess addressing that explicitly would be something that we might want to put in this communication plan here. As far as outreach goes, some of our deliverables are in the form of kind of giving a document or a presentation to the other councils. So for instance, our recommendation for staffing a community development team with the CC, so there's a little bit of outreach there. The WolfCon presentation is certainly intended to be that. But now that you say your question out loud, it does occur to me that there probably are some kind of piecemeal communications that we can do between now and next WolfCon to try to get people at least aware of what's happening. Other folks on this group, any thoughts about that? Charlotte.
So wouldn't that be a nice topic for the newsletter?
Oh yeah. Updates from the PC on really all of these working groups and kind of where they're at. I like that. Communication plan. I'm just going to write a newsletter here. Why is spell check not working here? Is newsletter one word, two? How many T's are in it? Todd?
I'm also thinking about getting early input for what kind of process would be useful, what kind of process would be agreeable, as opposed to after the fact. To make sure that the process being crafted is something that will in fact be adopted, that adds some value instead of, rather than being a kind of bureaucratic paperwork.
Was this this in scope
good
and this is kind of what you're talking about, but it does, one of the things we tried to do, and I love that you guys are pointing this stuff out because it's going to strengthen our process, but yeah. One of the things that we were hoping to do is anything that we expressed as a purpose or a goal or in scope, we want it to be echoed in the deliverables. And it occurs to me that we don't necessarily have a deliverable that explicitly kind of holds us accountable to this in scope point, which is gathering feedback on I feel like this is, it kind of gets at what you're talking about. So we might want to add something explicit to, you know, make sure that we are doing that. Charlotte?
So Todd, we are very much aware that we need to, you know, stay in sync with the community council who is to think about funding. And so, because otherwise this will never lift a meter above ground. One of the things we have discussed is to have a monthly meeting with tri-council participants in order to, you know, be in sync with the councils and make sure that we do not produce a bureaucratic paper which is being archived just as soon WolfCon is over, because none of us is feeling that that's not why we are engaging in this work.
But I would think that if the, like, if this project, or if the outcome of the framework also affects like product owners and the way they work, you know, then they become a stakeholder and, you know, would also have valuable input. Mm-hmm. So in effect, like, who are all the parties that are affected by this? Yeah, because they are inherently stakeholders.
And the good thing is that, sorry for jumping in, Alexis, is that we in the group has two POs, Thomas Trott and myself. So we have, you can say, hands-on knowledge about how we are, you know, have worked for years in our development teams.
Yeah. I'd like to echo that. I've been really, really pleased with the diversity of perspectives in our group. And it so far, like, the discussions have... I don't know. There's just something about when you get together with folks and everyone's thinking the same thing that you have to start being suspicious as to whether or not, you know, you're in an echo chamber. And that certainly isn't the case. Like, we definitely, you know, lots of things are said during our meetings that at least give me pause. I'm like, all right, I hadn't thought about that. So I really appreciate that. All right. Name the stakeholders. Yeah. And I think we're going to refine these comments, but the three councils, the SIGs, the POs, I think off the top of my head, probably. Oh, and the developers, of course. You know, just everybody. Alexis.
So I obviously it's going to depend on how things shake out, but I think it would be great to keep in mind as this is happening and then after, how ways that we could articulate, tell this success story, you know, the story of the pilot, like, here's how it worked and here's what we learned, and just... I'm thinking about the great ideas that have not taken off, you know, the point that Todd had made, that how can we sort of make this actually, you know, stick and have it be adopted. And so how can we sort of communicate, in addition to sort of getting all the feedback and getting the stakeholder buy-in early on, which I think is super important, but then also being like, okay, here are all the great things that happened. Here's why it worked. Here are the things that we saw that weren't so great, but we have these ideas on how to fix them. And here's what and how it's going to sort of improve things in the product. Like, I think that's part of how, one of the reasons why maybe some things haven't taken off, that we just sort of do them and then we don't toot our own respective horns. You know, we just need to make it all sound great. And hopefully people will be like, oh, that'll work for me as well. And we'll get some adoption. I don't know. It's not a very concrete thing, but just to be thinking about it.
What about tri-council meetings? That seems like a good time to, like, maybe do updates on the process and how we're engaging in this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. This is great. Any other thoughts, improvements that could be made? Kristen.
I think this looks really good too. I just want to say that. I think I feel like the biggest risk is that it gets bogged down somewhere. I think maybe Charlotte was alluding to this, and then it becomes a bureaucratic solution. And I've been involved in some of these bureaucratic discussions. So I would just encourage you as the group, if you start, like, it's good to have a diversity of opinions, but if you find yourself at an impasse, or if somebody is, you know, maybe has like big concerns, I think keeping this communication up to the bigger groups, like when things are not maybe forming the way you want, or when you have like a major concern that you're having trouble with, I think that will be really helpful, because I'm really enthusiastic about this approach. And I'm looking at your deliverables and milestones, and I'm just thinking, like try to hold yourself to that. Or if you see in your group, if you're recognizing like we're going to be slipping, like communicate that out too. Like, don't be embarrassed about it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think that might help. I think keeping that connection will be better, you know, than sequestering yourselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here that is just kind of trying to figure out how we would do this. I do have to say that there is probably a part two that's going to be needed. If we, you know, bring forward some documentation that says, well, this is how we feel like the PC could engage with this process and everybody's good with it, then I do think we will need to, as a council, just say, okay, well, we're going to try this. We are, you know, and so the actual doing of it is going to be definitely another phase. I mean, we hope to outline that, you know, in this roadmap, you know, kind of like what that will look like for us. But if we do, if we all like what it looks like, and you know, have the courage to give it a shot, then there's definitely going to need to be more like iteration and like communication and kind of feedback given during the implementation phase of this, I guess is what I'm saying. All right. Well, this is great. I am learning from this that we will need to communicate a lot more than we were intending to, I think, since the section that grew, I think it more than doubled was the communication plan, but this is good. I mean, these are really great observations. And I think y'all are right that if we just do all this work in a dark corner of the community, it's got very little chance of having the impact I think we want to see it have. So, all right. Well, oh, I guess I don't need to stop sharing, but, let's see. That is the end of this charter. I suppose we have not necessarily discussed, you know, how these charters move forward. I think if we, what I would like to do with the suggestions that we just got is just another quick pass where I kind of make the language more presentable and consistent with the other stuff that is there. Do we have, yeah, that's a really good point. So Mark is asking, can we clarify how we're measuring success for the DIP and the pilot of the DIP? I mean, yeah, that should be clarified because I definitely have some assumptions about this. My thoughts on this were, you know, we as a group have been successful if we execute the pilot, you know, and get some feedback. I mean, I feel like if the feedback is that was awful and we don't ever want to do this again, then there is some success to, you know, to that, just in that, you know, we've learned a lesson. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I suppose what I had in my mind was that the PC would either through lazy consensus or a vote, say this version of the dip that we're looking at is what we want to adopt. Alexis?
Wasn't there something, if you scroll up to your, it's a documented, a documented process for a minimally viable dip. I mean, the documented process, right, that you'll, that will come out of the pilot, right? I mean, I'm sure you'll have a draft process and then you'll go through it and then you'll adjust it and blah, blah, blah. But like, to me, that's the biggest, you have a documented process that you think will work in a variety of different situations.
Do we feel like maybe this might address your concern, Mark? I don't know, but so we just say delivered to the PC by February 26th. I think implicit in that was that it would be accepted by, not necessarily accepted, but like delivering it to the PC is like for consideration, and they get, you know, the PC at large gets to say yes or no to it. Should we be more explicit about that, like to be accepted or denied by the PC or something along those lines? Charlotte?
So I see there's also the fourth bullet point, full dip process definition. And in a way, I think that probably more aligned with what Martin is talking about than the minimal viable dip process.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts, Mark?
Not specific thoughts, but I'm just echoing what was said before, you know, how to avoid just, you know, bureaucratic delivery as opposed to practical and working process. So it's one thing to deliver a document, you know, and yeah, we can call it a success, but it's another thing to deliver something that's been tried and tested and worked. Okay. So it's mm-hmm. not, it's, in my opinion, it's not just a piece of paper, but it's something that's been truly exercised. And throughout that process, I'm sure we'll identify some bumps, you know, that would need to be corrected. And that's the whole purpose of this. So, you know, the key successful criteria would could include, you know, how long does the process take from start to finish? You know, it shouldn't take, you know, years. It should probably be time bound, right? And then, mm-hmm. you know, what's delivered throughout this process should probably meet the folio community standards, development standards, right? So.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say now is something that needs to be wordsmithed and, you know, to become more crisp.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm trying to make is I think we want to be as practical as possible, you know.
And here the good thing is that we in the group has experience with folio development. We have experience in spinning up new development teams, working in development teams, delivering feature development, you know, for years and release after release. So we are definitely not trying to invent the plate one more time. We want to, you know, talk about the community-driven development team framework, you know, in a folio context with all the knowledge we have by now.
Agreed. And just a matter of consolidating into something that is going to be workable for new teams that may be formed or for new people who want to join the community, and it will be easier for them to follow the process, right?
So everything you're saying is exactly right. I mean, if we produce something that is just not tenable, like if the documented process is not something that is going to work in reality, then it ought to be either refined or discarded at that point. I'm wondering if the charter is the right place to figure out the details of what a healthy process looks like, or if as we're developing this documentation, we shoot for something that is healthy, and then kind of if it survives the approval process, you know, that's kind of like the, you know, how we, okay. That, all right.
I agree. Guess. We shouldn't expand too much and put, you know, this is our charter. And I think in the group, we had also talked about that we do not want to spend months on refining the charter. What is important is make sure that we will produce something and we will produce the deliverables as sketch out here. So I think, I think the charter is very well suited for that. Now we can get started to work.
But I do, I mean, I do want, like, for instance, if all we're bringing forward is like a documented process, you know, at some point it has to be tested. And then the results of that test need to be evaluated. And then it either needs to, you know, change or be accepted or discarded. Like one of those things needs to happen. So I don't think that the testing part of this is in scope for this group, for the full DIP process. The only thing that we're biting off as far as like testing out is this minimally viable DIP. I guess maybe we're waiting in kind of slowly on this, but that's the thing that we have said. We do want to test this and get some feedback on it. And we want to lay out some proposals for how we see the rest of it working. But as far as for future pilots and things like that, I think what we've decided in this charter is that that's future work that needs to be done. I don't know if my colleagues on the working group are of the same opinion or not, but Martin?
Yeah. I think we should not mix this documented process about the minimal viable DIP and this pilot. So we set in the scope that we may shadow a pilot DIP process, but we do not own this pilot process as a group, and neither as a PC. So there are external agents that will have to carry out this pilot process, and I think it may be difficult to say the documented process itself is only or is success of the documented process is the same as success of the pilot project.
That's because a good point.
The pilot project is not in our hands. There may be external factors that we cannot control and that may lead to some kind of deviations or compromises or whatever that we have to take there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Martin. Kristen?
Yeah, I guess I would wonder for you if this is getting into the work of the group more than what needs to go into the charter. So like the group probably will want to decide if we are watching a pilot, how are we going to determine from our standpoint if that pilot is successful or not, or what needs to change about it. But I don't, you know, I'm trying to figure out if that's something that really needs to go into the charter. I think that that would be part of the implementation process. I mean, you could call it out if you want to, but I don't think you have to determine what that success criteria are. And the success criteria from this group, like Martin was saying, is going to be only part of it, right? I mean, obviously, we could think in extremes, like we create a pilot project process and developers completely misunderstand everything about it and do it all wrong, like we would say, not a success, right? But how would you sort of determine if the pilot is successful? And maybe that's where you think, like, well, after we go through it, we talk to the developer who offered it, see where the pain points were. But I don't think you need to determine that here in this charter.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to get at, is like, I totally agree with you, Mark, that like, we're not doing our job right if we haven't defined the success criteria of what it is that we're trying to do. But I think defining that success criteria is part of the process that we're proposing we engage in, I guess. Yeah. All right. There are some notes in here. This needs to be cleaned up a little bit more. I'd like to just get some feedback from the group as far as next steps when it comes to this charter. Maybe after I get it cleaned up, I can share the link with the product council on Slack, and then the charter can kind of be accepted through lazy consensus by the group. If there are any further suggestions, you know, we can deal with those. Is that a good approach for this? Martin, did you have a suggestion?
No, I just incidentally raised my hand.
Okay, well, hearing no objections, we'll take that approach. So I'll refine some of the things that we've added to this document, send it out to the other working group members. Once we're all happy with it, I'll send it out to the PC at large. And once the PC is happy with it and has no more suggestions for it, then we'll put it into effect at that point. Awesome. All right, folks. Well, thanks so much. We can handle the next charter and final charter for our working groups coming out of WolfCon next time. And I think if we wrap up now, we all get 5 minutes back. So no problem with that. Awesome. Take it easy, folks.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.